The idea of the natural. Now you see it, now you don't. Physical endowment is like intellectual endowment. It's visible. Size, build, agility are all visible. Practice and training are also visible, and they produce visible results. You would think that this would dispel the myth of the natural. You could see Muggsy Bogues at 5'3" playing NBA basketball, and Doug Flutie, the small quarterback who has played for the New England Patriots and the San Diego Chargers. You could see Pete Gray, the one-armed baseball player who made it to the major leagues. Ben Hogan, one of the greatest golfers of all time, who was completely lacking in grace. Glenn Cunningham, the great runner, who had badly burned and damaged legs. Larry Bird and his lack of swiftness. You can see the small or graceless or even disabled ones who make it, and the godlike specimens who don't. Shouldn't this tell people something? Boxing experts relied on physical measurements, called tails of the tape, to identify naturals. They included measurements of the fighter's fist, reach, chest, expansion, and weight. Muhammad Ali failed these measurements. He was not a natural. He had great speed, but he didn't have the physique of a great fighter. He didn't have the strength, and he didn't have the classical moves. In fact, he boxed all wrong. He didn't block punches with his arms and elbows. He punched in rallies like an amateur. He kept his jaw exposed. He pulled back his torso to evade the impact of oncoming punches, which Jose Torres said was like someone in the middle of a train track, trying to avoid being hit by an oncoming train. Not by moving to one or the other side of the track, but by running backwards. Sonny Liston, Ali's adversary, was a natural. He had it all, the size, the strength, and the experience. His power was legendary. It was unimaginable that Ali could beat Sonny Liston. The matchup was so ludicrous that the arena was only half full for the fight. But aside from his quickness, Ali's brilliance was his mind. His brains, not his brawn. He sized up his opponent and went for his mental jugular. Not only did he study Liston's fighting style, but he closely observed what kind of person Liston was out of the ring. I read everything I could where he had been interviewed. I talked with people who had been around him or had talked with him. I would lay in bed and put all of the things together and think about them, and try to get a picture of how his mind worked. And then he turned it against him. Why did Ali appear to go crazy before each fight? Because, Torres says, he knew that a knockout punch is the one they don't see coming. Ali said, Listen, I had to believe that I was crazy, that I was capable of doing anything. He couldn't see nothing to me at all but mouth, and that's all I wanted him to see. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see. Ali's victory over Liston is boxing history. A famous boxing manager reflects on Ali. He was a paradox. His physical performances in the ring were absolutely wrong, yet his brain was always in perfect working condition. He showed us all, he continued with a broad smile written across his face, that all victories come from here, hitting his forehead with his index finger. Then he raised a pair of fists, saying, Not from here. This didn't change people's minds about physical endowment. No, we just look back at Ali now with our hindsight and see the body of a great boxer. It was gravy that his mind was so sharp and that he made up amusing poems, but we still think his greatness resided in his physique, and we don't understand how the experts failed to see that greatness right from the start. Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan wasn't a natural either. He was the hardest working athlete, perhaps in the history of sport. It is well known that Michael Jordan was cut from the high school varsity team. We laugh at the coach who cut him. He wasn't recruited by the college he wanted to play for, North Carolina State. Well, weren't they foolish? He wasn't drafted by the first two NBA teams that could have chosen him. What a blooper. Because now we know he was the greatest basketball player ever, and we think it should have been obvious from the start. When we look at him, we see Michael Jordan. But at that point, he was only Michael Jordan. When Jordan was cut from the varsity team, he was devastated. His mother says, I told him to go back and discipline himself. Boy, did he listen. He used to leave the house at 6 a.m. to go practice before school. At the University of North Carolina, he constantly worked on his weaknesses, his defensive game and his ball handling and shooting. The coach was taken aback by his willingness to work harder than anyone else. Once, after the team lost the last game of the season, Jordan went and practiced his shots for hours. He was preparing for the next year. Even at the height of his success and fame, after he had made himself into an athletic genius, his dogged practice remained legendary. Former Bulls assistant coach John Bach called him a genius who constantly wants to upgrade his genius. For Jordan, success stems from the mind. The mental toughness and the heart are a lot stronger than some of the physical advantages you might have. I've always said that, and I've always believed that. But other people don't. They look at Michael Jordan, and they see the physical perfection that led inevitably to his greatness.